looking for all your fantasy footy needs? Look no further.
You!
You're listening to the Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. Here's your host, Max Matthews.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the AFL Fantasy Footy Fever Podcast. My name is Max Matthews, and I'll be your host for the 2024 AFL Fantasy season. At the start of this podcast, I'll just go through how my team went for round 8, and then followed by some captain options, most traded in players, highest and lowest break evens, and then we'll finish off with some questions. So, in round 8, I had a score of 2,148, and that was 2,839 round rank, so I'm pretty pleased with that. And after going down to 10,000 the week before, I've managed to claw my way back up almost into the top 5K. So I'm pretty pleased with that. My trades didn't really go as well as I would have liked them to. So I went Riley Sanders to Jordan Sweet on the Thursday night, I believe it was. And that was in the showdown against Riley O'Brien. And he did pretty well. So he had an 88. So I traded out Brody Grundy, which obviously didn't go as well as I would have liked to. He ended up with 134, and his break-even is now at 75, so I probably missed an opportunity to trade out someone like a Zach Williams instead. But yeah, that's just how fantasy works sometimes. But I brought in Zach Merritt, just purely because he averages, well, one of the highest in the game so far, I put the C on him straight away, and he got me a 110, so I wasn't too surprised about how he scored against West Coast. Obviously, I would have liked him to go a little bit bigger because of that matchup, but I'll just go through every single player and tell you how they went. So, Harry Sheezel, I chucked the VC on him, and unfortunately, he played that midfield and forward role that we saw him do the week before, and that limited his scoring quite a bit. So that was his first score under the ton so far this year, and now a break even of 146, he'll go down in price quite a bit, but nothing to be too concerned of. An 89 in that forward role isn't the worst, and has Gold Coast this week, so he shouldn't be that bad. Lockie Whitfield got tagged by James Jordan on the weekend, so that was a little bit of a surprising move that not a lot of fantasy coaches would have seen. 33% owned, so a lot of people would have been facing that same issue. He's still averaging 101 for this year, breaking of 147, so he'll be a little bit cheaper in a couple weeks' time for people that don't have him. And he has Essendon this week, so I'm not too sure if anyone will pay attention to Lockie Whitfield, but it might be a blueprint that a few teams can follow in the coming weeks. Nick Dacos was back to his best against the Blues, and a 122. So he had 32 touches, 2 marks, 7 tackles, and he also kicked the 2 goals. So he hasn't gone below 95 in the last 5 rounds. So that's something pretty positive to look at him from a owner point of view, and has West Coast this week. So if you don't have him, I'd jump on him this week. Has a pretty nice one with West Coast, Adelaide, and then the Bulldogs. Also has North Melbourne before his round 15 bye. So I'd jump on him now. I think it's the perfect time to grab him at 885K. Han Young, 125 against Richmond. You probably would have been expecting midfielders to score quite well with the likes of Tim Taranto, Prestia, all of those guys out. So he had 30 disposals, 7 marks, 5 tackles, and also kicked 2 goals. So it was very nice to see Hayden Young in there and around the ball, especially after having a pretty concerning ankle injury that we thought was going to rule him out for a little bit of time. Riley Bonner, 87, so just keeps getting 80s every single week. So not too bad. Hasn't gone above above 90 for the last 4 rounds. So he played 87% time on ground. So obviously Ross Lyon thinks that he'll be a nice distributor off half back, and I don't really see him being dropped at any point Zach Williams, I fielded at D6, and looking back on that decision, I probably should have gone with Sam Closey. I thought Zach Williams might have got subbed, and that he did. So I think it's pretty concerning. He is ruled out this week, and I think that the best option is probably to trade him, but I have got a few other people that I probably will need to trade out. So he might just be sitting there for 1 week until he returns. Sam Clotzy was on my bench, 65 as my emergency. Charlie Dean has been sitting there for a while, and it doesn't really look like he's going to get a game anytime soon. Zach Merritt, as I talked about, he had a very good game. So he had 29 touches. 4 marks is not too bad, but his tackling was really low. So I'm not really sure what was happening there. Obviously, it might have just been because it was an Eagles matchup. He was going to take it a little bit easier. Obviously, it was only one goal difference in the end. He kicked 3 goals, which was really surprising, and he passed one off that I thought he was just going to stroll through and kick a goal with. Also kicked the one behind as well. So definitely can hit the scoreboard when he needs to. Has Giants this week, so a tougher matchup, but it's Zach Merritt, and he'll probably score well anyway. Has North, Richmond, and Gold Coast also after that GWS matchup, so he should have a nice run coming into his bye. Connor Rosie, 51. I probably should have traded him out, seeming as though he was a little bit questionable to come into that game. 51% time on ground after he hurt his hamstring yet again, and will probably be a trade out for me this week. He had 15 touches in 51% time on ground, so was finding the ball pretty easily, but I just don't think that we can trust Connor Rosie right now. Has Geelong, so that would have been a nice matchup if he were to play, but he'll be out for at least 1 week, maybe even two, so best to move him on now. Bont, 103, so not the worst from Bontempelli. He had 26 touches. 2 marks was a little bit lower. 5 tackles was okay. Kicked 2 goals to get to that 103. Against Hawks, it was a pretty nice matchup. Has Richmond this week, so he can probably go pretty big in that matchup. Sam Walsh, after training him in a couple of weeks ago, he's been pretty good, so he hasn't gone below a ton yet, but it's pretty low hundreds. So if he can just get his marks, get his tackles up, I'm pretty sure that we'll be able to see him increase his average by a little bit. Has a 111 break even, so a few people might jump on because he's so consistent, but it's definitely a nice option to go to someone with that consistency that you just know will get the job done for you most weeks. Nick Mann, 119, similar to Zach Merritt. It was just a easier matchup, 97% time on ground, hasn't gone below 90 so far this year. And that 119 is his second best score for the year. After that 44 possession game against St Kilda in round 3. You can flick him back if you need to. If you want to get rid of the likes of Zach Williams or someone like that. Matt Roberts is another one that will be traded out by a few people this week. He's probably maxed out in his cash. 82, it's just whether we can see him hit that against Frio. I'm not sure if he does, but a lot of people have some carnage that they will need to trade out. So probably more likely that some people will hold him, but probably the best option is to trade him out now. Darcy Wilson, so he's kick-started his cash generation after a 92 and 100 in the last 2 weeks. Has Hawthorn this week, so he'll go up more yet again. And price at 565K, we'll see him reach 600 very soon. A fieldable option in your forward line or in your M7, M8 spot if you really need. I held Jeremy Sharp. A lot of people traded him out last week, and he scored 86, so that was nice to see him do that. Breaking was 68 now against the Swans, a little bit tougher. But we'll see how he goes against them. Hugo Garcia on my bench. I didn't emergency him, but he had the 47. Jai Clark, 62. So he's kickstarted his cash generation a little bit more. If he can reach that break-even of 37 that he has this week. Tristan Jerry, I chose to hold him over Grundy, and he had a 127. So he's averaging 107 now. He is looking very good. Breaking of 84, he'll go up more and probably into the 900K mark if he pumps out another score like he did on the weekend. Gold Coast Suns, Jared Witts might be a little bit more restrictive, but we'll see how he goes. Harry Barnett, I used as a loophole for Jordan Sweet following that trade of Brody Grundy. Isaac Heaney, 99, so wasn't too bad. Just couldn't hit that ton mark, which would have been nice to see, but 26 touches, 6 tackles, only the 2 marks, which is a little bit different. But against GWS, it's a tougher matchup, and he kicked 1 goal too. So nothing to be concerned about there. Sam Flanders, 104, just keeps doing what he's doing. Has North Melbourne this week and looking like another big score there. And also has Geelong the following week, so that could be another big score as well. And the plus 3 of the week goes to the guy at my F3 spot, which was Dane Zorko. So following his really weird move into the forward line, against GWS, I was very concerned going into the Gold Coast match whether he'll be any chance of going back there. And I got home from work and I saw that he was on 100 at halftime, which was amazing to see. And yeah, just didn't stop there. He had, 40 touches and 16 marks, which is ridiculous. 5 tackles as well. Kicked the 3 behind, so he could have easily reached 200 if he wanted to. But yeah, it was very nice to see as a owner of a unique player. I'd say he was about 14% owned at the beginning of last round, and he has been a pretty good servant for me so far this year. After I picked him up just after his bye, so he has the Crows, Richmond, and Hawks in the next 3 weeks. So all good matchups. Just we need him to keep playing as that halfback role, and he will score very well. Another guy that got subbed out for me was Dry Caldwell, and he was looking very good. Halfway through the third quarter, he was on 61, and then he had to get subbed out. So it's just whether or not he'll get up to play this week, I'm not too sure, but I might have a couple other issues that I might even need to hold him. GWS is a pretty restrictive matchup, so even if he does miss this week, I can probably hold him for that North, Richmond, and Gold Coast Suns run that he has coming up. So I'll just need to wait and see for teams to be released tonight. Tom Power, 71. So similar role to what he had for his 34, but he did drift into the midfield a little bit more. Will Phillips was omitted, and that saw him have a couple more CBAs, but just doesn't get the touches that we saw earlier in the season, and I'm not too sure whether he will be a top six, six forward. His average has now dropped to an 85 after that. Harley Reid, 55. It was all right. Against Essendon, you probably would have won a little bit more. Only had the 14 touches. 1 mark wasn't too impressive, and 5 tackles was all right. Didn't kick a goal, unfortunately, so that is a bit of his game that normally gets him some points. So he probably is fieldable for a couple more weeks, and then we can probably move him off. Seth Campbell can be moved off now. Definitely reached his max price, and yeah, I'd say against the Bulldogs, he probably doesn't get a 60, and he's only done that twice so far this year, and with back-to-back 30s, I'm not too confident in him getting that. Cooper Simpson, I had on my bench, and yeah, it's just unlucky that he can't get the ball, so he was hyped up a little bit in the preseason, but unfortunately, with an average score of 24, it's not looking likely that he's going to make me any more cash, and he's just a bit of a dead rookie on my bench. Will Graham was my utility spot, 56, not too bad, but that's how my team went in round 8, and yeah, I'm pretty happy with that, and I'll go through my trades a little bit later, but hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit better this week, hopefully with less carnage as well. So I'll go into the most traded in and out players. So most traded in player on early on a Thursday is Jack Sinclair against that Hawks matchup. Is looking very nice. 65 break even will go up almost to 900K, I'd assume, if he does pump out a decent score. Average of 98. So we'll probably see that tick over 100 after this week. And yeah, I think he's a pretty good option. Nick Dacos against West Coast. A lot of people are bringing him in that don't have him already. And as I said before, it's a nice option to bring him in. Clayton Oliver, 6.6K coaches jumping on him. I'm not too sure if I'd trust Clayton Oliver just yet. I'm just uncertain. He's only had one good game in the past. What is that? Four matches. So he's gone 8-9, 114, 86, 94, and then a 47, 53, 65, and then got back up to a 106 for that Geelong match. So I'll probably wait one more week just to see whether he can do this consistently. Maybe I'll wait a little bit longer. Can't match up, and yeah, I'm not too sure. It's Thursday night. I probably wouldn't trust bringing him in this early in the round, so I'd just wait and see. Bruce from the Brisbane Lions has a pretty favourable matchup in Adelaide Crows this week, and he looked pretty good. He had 52 and will probably stay in the team after the two ACLs went down early in the match, and also they have a couple other injuries that will probably mean that he'll stay. So he didn't have any handballs. His kick to handball ratio is pretty good. Four marks, probably that can be taken up a little bit. And yeah, he just didn't do much other than those two. Has around 12 by, which a lot of people have some people on. So I might go with Lachie Sullivan instead. He had 43% time on ground after getting subbed. But he had 57 in that time, so he was looking very good. Had one goal and one behind. 10 touches, one mark, five tackles in that limited game time. And I think against West Coast and the Crows in the next 2 weeks, he can pump out some decent scores if he isn't sub. So that's probably the thing that you probably want to look at. Jake Soligo against Brisbane, a little bit of a tougher matchup, I'd say. But 5,000 coaches are going to jump on him this week. Caleb Sarong, another very good trading target that I'd go for and someone that I'm looking at bringing in this week. James Peatling, a pick that interests me quite a bit because he's been sub a few times this year, which has brought his cash down a lot. And with a break-in of negative 11, it's probably likely to say that he'll hit maybe even a 75 this week against the Bombers. And then he's got Bulldogs and Geelong, followed by Hawks after his round 12 bye. But Cornelio has been named today, so that might affect his role a little bit. And also Tom Green is looking fit to play as well, so I'm not too sure if I'd go there. But I can definitely see a world where, because he's 400K, it's a little bit of a downgrade target if you want that. If you just want some bench cover and you think that he can pump out a decent score, maybe your F6 or maybe even just bench him and see how he goes, emergency him. He's probably someone that you can do that with. Colby McKercher, 4,000 coaches are jumping back on him, which is a little bit surprising. Obviously, he's had that Harry Sheasel role for the last 2 weeks with 30 touches in each of those games. But yeah, I'm not too sure if I'd be bringing a rookie back into my team just purely because they can be inconsistent sometimes. They are looking to give it to Colby as much as possible. He takes kickouts and all of that. So maybe someone you can bring in, but I am just not too sure about that just yet. Cal Shadir had a very nice debut on the weekend. It's a key forward, which is the only concern that those rookies probably don't generate as much cash as some other players. So you can probably go to him, but I just think that it's the best option to go with Bruce from Brisbane and maybe even Lachie Sullivan if he is not named as the sub. Dane Zulko also up there, 3,000 coaches jumping on him, obviously with that 180. We'll see him rise quite a bit in price. The only problem is that do you want to risk it after his injury history? So I jumped on him pretty early in the season, just hoping that he can get to his round 12 buy for me. And is looking like probably one of the best forward options to get so far this year. But at age 35, I think that it's probably likely that he will either get rested or injure himself in sometime this season. When that is, I'm just not too sure. Breaking of 74, he can definitely reach that. And you're going to need to pay top dollar to get in a forward like Dane Zorko. And it's just whether you want to pay that much for a guy that's 35 and his body has been his worst enemy in the last few seasons. So someone to look at. Bailey Dale, 3,000 coaches also jumping on him against Richmond. Very favourable matchup. And if I could go Zach Williams up to him, I probably would do that. Yeah, he's probably one of the best defender targets to bring in this week, but just for this matchup, has GWS and Sydney the 2 weeks after, which might be a little bit tougher. But with Ed Richards going to the middle, with Libber coming out of the squad, I think that a lot more of the ball will be in his hands this week, similar to what he did with that 160 and 134 a little bit earlier. Yeah, someone that you can definitely jump on. Darcy Jones, he scored 56 on the weekend, now with a break-in of -8, and he's looking pretty good. Has Essendon this week, so will most likely be another decent score from Darcy. And with Essendon, Bulldogs and Geelong coming up, I definitely think that he's someone that you can jump on. And those are all of the guys that have 2,000 coaches or more jumping on them this week. Most trade out. So the guys that are either injured or that we think will drop in price quite a bit have been trade out so far. So the likes of Elliot Yeo, 25,000 coaches jumping off him. So that is a lot of the competition. And yes, I definitely advise trading Elliot Yeo out. Has a groin strain, I believe it is. And yeah, I just wouldn't trust his body anymore after that injury, and he needs to go this week. Connor Rosie, as I mentioned before, he probably needs to get traded with 1 to 2 weeks next to his name. Zach Williams, he has been named out for this week following the teams that came out last night, so I definitely jump off him if you can. Tom Green, so he has been named from what I know. So I just hold him because he will most likely he'll most likely just do what he's been doing for most of the season so far. And I just wouldn't risk trading him out just to probably want to bring him in a little bit later in the season. Matt Roberts against Frio, so 7,000 coaches are also jumping off him, and rightly so. Because his cash in has probably stopped there, I'd most likely go up to whoever you can in that midfield or even defender line. Ollie Dempsey, he's probably maxed out in cash as well. And yeah, he can go after a 60, 50 and 54 in the last three rounds. Riley Sanders has Richmond, so hopefully he comes back and he had about 29 touches and 11 clearances, I think he did in the VFL. So not a bad game, but a few people still own him. So you can probably just hold him, but you can definitely trade him either down to a rookie, or you can try to get 400k and go all the way up. Seth Campbell, Harvey Thomas, Shane Dersma, all of those rookies are going to be cut by quite a few people this week. And then you've got Tom Powell, Nat Fyfe, and Charlie Combin all there, so all of those forward options are most likely going to drop in price quite a bit. And after Nat Fyfe was sub on the weekend, I think a lot of people might jump off him with a break-in of 82 now. Charlie Combin, similar story with him. It's just not looking like he's going to be scoring 107 every week like he did against Brisbane in round four. And then you've got some more rookies there like Cadman, Lazaro, Gallagher. Jeremy Sharp is still there for some reason. So all of those guys have been named as some of the most traded out players this week. So that's it for the most traded and out players. For break-even-wise, James Peatling has the lowest break-even out of anyone in fantasy this week. He has a negative 11 break-even. Darcy Jones, negative 8. Cal Shadir, negative 4. Biggie didn't get selected, so he has the Suns this week, whether he'll come in. He has a negative 1 break-even. A break-even of 1 for Taj Woden, so hopefully he can be named not as a sub. I'd expect him to be named on the ground. And with a break-even of 1, he'll probably generate some more cash, 288K, so definitely affordable for some people. Lockie Sullivan, break-even of 3. Bruce with a break-even of 5. And then you've got some guys that haven't played in a while, like Charlie Dean, Toby Conway, Patrick Voss, Toby McMullen, and those guys. Jordan Sweet, break-even of 12. The word is that he hasn't been training at all this week, so he's been ill. So I'm not too sure what I'll do if he doesn't get named. I'll probably go all the way up to Gorn, maybe even a Tim English. I won't be training in Brody Grundy, that's for sure. Yeah, it's just annoying seeming as though I got rid of a guy that got 130 last week, and maybe Jordan Sweet won't even be playing against the likes of Reece Stanley or Toby Conway. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's named out this week as a guy who has illness. So that's obviously really annoying for the lot of people that jumped on him last week. Colby has a break-even of 18, and then you've got Hugo Garcia with a 19 break-even, and Darcy Wilson with a break-even of 24. For the highest break-even, so obviously Tom Green after his 7 last week will have a very high break-even of 166, which is very good for the rest of the competition that don't have him. He'll be very cheap quite soon, and we can all jump on him when the time is right. Connor Rosie, 155 break-even. And, yeah, when he comes back, I'm not too sure, but it's most likely that it'll be 1 to 2 weeks, and we can jump on him maybe after his round 13 bye will be the best time to grab him. Lockie Whitfield, 147, break-even after his 48 after getting tagged. So I wouldn't be jumping on him. I'd most likely go maybe even a Luke Ryan I might prefer, purely because Luke Ryan has a very high ceiling that we saw on the weekend. He had a 160 and is just a little bit more unique than Lockie. Harry Shearer, 146 break-even. Jack Steele, 142. Rowan Marshall, Max Gorn with high 130s. Zach Merritt, 130 break-even against GWS. Isaac Heaney, 129. Petrarca, 128, who is very cheap at the moment at 800K. And he'll go down probably yet again and will be a very nice pickup a little bit later in the season. Noah Anderson, 128. It's a little bit more unique, but he's someone that can probably be jumped on a little bit later in the season, depending on how his form is. Tom Stewart, 125. And then you've got the likes of Bont with 122, and a few other a little bit underrated picks there, like Adam Treloar, or the likes of John Dawson, Errol Goulden, and Tuk Miller with a little bit lower 110s for their break-even. I'll just go into some of my favourite captain options, I'd say, for this week. So Max Gorn, obviously, tonight at 7 o'clock, they'll play against Carlton. So Tom DeConning. I'm not sure if Mike Pidnett got named. Yeah, he did get named, so he'll most likely play. So it'll be a 2-on-1 in the ruck. And I don't think they'll face Max Gawn one bit this week, and hopefully he does well for those owners out there. Geelong, Port Power, I don't really like anyone in there. You might want to go Zach Butters maybe as a earlier VC option, but I probably wouldn't go there myself. Frio, Sydney, Caleb Sarong maybe. He's probably the only one that I'd trust in that game. I probably wouldn't go Isaac Heaney in that matchup. It's just a little bit of a weirder game. I'm not sure who will match up onto Isaac Heaney, whether that'll be like an Andy Brayshaw that might run with him for the day. That's probably something that we'll have to wait and see. Also on the Friday night, Hawks, St Kilda. So the likes of Jack Steele, Rowan Marshall, those guys go pretty big this week. And yeah, just depending on who Jack Steele has with him, I think that he can go absolutely huge. Finn McGuinness, I'm not too sure whether he'll just stay in the forward line and as a midfielder, or whether he'll go and tag someone. I'm not too sure. Also, the likes of Jack Sinclair is there as a VC option as well, early on the Saturday. Essendon, GWS, well, Zach Merritt, one of the most consistent players in the game, can probably be a VC. I probably wouldn't chuck the C on him in that GWS matchup, but can definitely do well. Tom Green, I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't touch Lockie Whitfield in that matchup. I think that's a little bit of a concern with, obviously, him being tagged last week and Tom Green rolling his ankle. Richmond Bulldogs, a lot of options here. If you've got Bailey Dale, maybe that's a play. I'm not too sure. Obviously, Bontempelli is probably the most likely option to be a captain or VC option in this match. Also, the likes of Tim English against Toby Nankervis will be a matchup that a lot of people will be considering. So those are the only guys that I'd go with there. Gold Coast North, I want to say Harry Sheasel, but I'm just not too sure about that role that he's in right now. I wouldn't chuck the C on him, I don't think. So those are the games on Saturday. Sunday, Collingwood, West Coast. Nick Dacos, maybe. You can probably go there if you needed a late captain option. That's probably the only guy I'd be touching in that match. Yeah, I don't really like any other players in that. Adelaide, Brisbane, Josh Dunkley, definitely an option here. If you really need a Jordan Dawson as your late captain, you can go with him. Probably not Rory Laird. Yeah, that's probably about it for the captain options. I'd definitely be going either VC on Maxi Gawn or someone like a Caleb Sarong or Jack Steele, maybe even a Jack Sinclair early on the Saturday matchups. So, yeah, those are the VC options that I'd go with, and I'd go either Merritt, Bont, English. Depending on how you view Harry Sheasel's role, I might go Sheasel, I'm not too sure. But just depending on who's named and who's not this week, I'll just see who I will go with as my captain. So my early trades for this week, Connor Rosie and Zach Williams are out for me. And I'll be going with Bruce from Brisbane for Zach Williams, and most likely Connor Rosie to Caleb Sarong. But if Jordan Sweet isn't named, I'll probably go up to the likes of Max Gawn or maybe even a Tim English. I can loop with Harry Barnett and take him into my forward line, and I can just chuck Jordan Sweet at my R3 spot if I needed to. But hopefully he is named and I won't have to do that. Jai Caldwell is also in my forward line at the moment, and he might be named out. So just depending on how he goes throughout the week, whether he'll train or not, I'm not too sure. He is a test on the injury report on the AFL website. So hopefully he can pull up all right after that injury that he copped on the weekend. And my captain options, I'll most likely go I'll most likely go Merritt into Bontempelli, I think, at the moment. They're probably the two guys that I think are safest. And, yeah, I think Bont can have a pretty big match against the Richmond Tigers. I haven't got any questions this week, so I think that might just be it for this round. So hopefully we don't cop too much carnage in the team selections. And, yeah, hopefully we can scrape another decent score and probably hold on to our overall ranking. I probably don't want to drop below 7,000 this round. Hopefully I'll just keep going up as the rounds go on. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the team selections tonight, because that will depend a lot on our most trade-in and trade-out players, I would assume. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.